Ronnie, I had a bit of a miniature reunion this past weekend.
We get an extra syllable when you say miniature.
Miniature, yeah. I don't usually say that.
You say the second I.
Miniature. Yeah, I would say miniature, but for some reason, because I was trying to be like, what's the opposite of succinct? Not like verbose. I was trying to like pronounce my words correctly. Use my radio voice. I was like miniature, yeah. You know?
You're using that RTE voice. How do you say it? RTE?
RTE. I'd say RTE.
RTE.
Nikki pointed out to me last week that because of a mild editing mishap, by the time this gets published.
No, don't mention it. They won't notice. It's gone. It's gone, Dennis. It never happened. It's in the memory hole.
There's a secret version of the episode that is relevant to this.
No, it's gone, mate.
We stuffed up the recording in the middle because of internet issues. And you could hear, Nikki pointed out that you, Riley, went, you said something and then you went, hello? Hello? No, I think we've lost Dennis. And then I came back. And we hopped between Discord servers talking about the ping and all the different zones and all the stuff. And then Nikki said it was weird because you were being yourselves authentically. And then you decided to go. Anyway, so we're talking about this. And
yeah,
go back into performance mode.
Exactly. Yeah.
It came back on. Yeah. And she said it was a good peek behind the curtain.
Do we leave it in now that we're making reference to it here?
I feel like that's double benefit because it means you don't have to go and fix it.
It means I don't have to go back and edit it out. So that's actually pretty good. Okay. All right. So people will be confused to it when they listen to last week's, but now, this is so good. Now we're making it a feature.
Yeah. It's like when there's symbolism early in a movie and then you're like, oh, this will mean something later. Here we go.
Yeah. But it's also symbolism in that case where, like, I don't know, you see the boom mic pop into the screen or you see like one of the camera operators like knock a camera over or something. It's like, oh, that was a technical error. Turns out it was an artistic statement all along.
I saw that recently. I was trying to figure out what it was. I saw that recently in exactly that. And it was in, Nikki and I watching music videos the other day.
Yeah.
And I showed the music video for Muse's Knights of Cydonia, which is meant to be like a 70s Western-y kung fu vibe.
Yeah,
and you can see the crew in one of the mirrors. But it's obviously because they all have like 70s mustaches and are wearing 70s clothes and stuff.
So it's very deliberate. That's cool. I like metafiction. I enjoy, I don't know what it's called. Postmodernist stuff like that. I don't know. I'm not smart enough.
Before we started recording, you asked me if you'd enjoy Asteroid City, and then I think you will because it is very metafictitious.
Very metafictitious. Oh man, I love fiction and I love metafiction. So let's get into that. Anyway, sorry, you had something in miniature. Was it golf?
It was a reunion.
Okay.
So a friend of mine from school, a dear friend of mine, called Tommy Cullen. Big shout out to Tommy.
Tommy Cullen?
And big shout Cullen. See you like Edward Cullen from Twilight.
I was going to say Cullen is not where you want to land as a last name.
No. Well, I wanted to say a big shout out to Tommy because you can find Tommy Cullen's music on Spotify.
Oh, let's go. Tommy Cullen. Let's have a listen to it right now.
It's not far off the kind of music that you listen to. I don't think it's a million miles outside of scope for you.
Okay.
I genuinely quite like it, but I'm biased.
He's a cool looking bloke. He's got like Jesus hair.
Yeah, he's got like a Hosier vibe, I would say.
Yeah. All right. I'm listening to The Train right now, but you can keep talking.
A couple weeks ago, Nikki and Oisin and Lauren and I went to one of Tommy's gigs. I was like, oh, let's be supportive, you know?
Yeah.
I haven't spoken to Tommy much since we were like, because we used to like sit together in math class. We would go to each other's house and stuff. Mm-hmm. We were like really close friends, and then I went to college. We went to a different college, and we never really caught up after that. And I was like, let's do this. It'll be good. And went to the gig, yada yada. And then he texted me afterwards. I was like, hey, would you and Nikki like to come over? And turns out he doesn't live very far. And he was like, and come over for a drink with me and Juliet, and we'll have a catch up. Mm-hmm. And we did, and it was great.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me. It was weird to see someone. Now, I'm putting my thumb on the scale here a little bit. I did see Tommy once about 2 years ago because we did a similar dance this that came up when we chatted for a half hour. But this was a much longer like affair with him and Juliet, who was also in my year in school, and they've been dating since then.
That was
going to
be my question. Yeah. Is Juliet also a high school character for you?
She is. She is a high school character.
High school sweetheart. That's so cute.
Yeah, they've been together like 12 years. And I think Juliet was head girl, I want to say. My apologies if I'm incorrect. I'm pretty sure.
Like what? Like at Hogwarts, did you have prefects as well?
Riley, you're speaking to a prefect right now.
You were a prefect?
Yeah, dude.
How did you con your way into that?
What do you mean? Right? How do you think prefects are chosen, Riley?
Are they? They're not voted in, are they? Surely not.
Popular vote. Popular vote.
Oh, so okay. So not actual pre. I thought prefects are like, you know, teachers' pets, like the people who want to be.
Well, it's 50% popular vote, 50% teacher vote.
Oh, so it's a guided democracy.
Yeah, exactly. Managed democracy. Yeah.
A managed democracy. So what happens? The teachers put up the ballot, or how does the 50-50 work?
I believe everybody gets the same ballot where you submit. I think you can vote for like 5 or 10 prefects or something.
Oh, but it's a blank ballot. You can write in any name you want?
I believe so. And then you appoint some, and then the prefects vote in the head boy and head girl, as I recall.
No. But how do the teachers, like what the way that I would have organized it if I were a teacher is I would like have a bunch of applications, and then I would make a short list of all the people that I'm like, I don't care if any of the, I would take any single one of these kids as prefects. That's fine, right?
No, blank ballot for all 140 kids in my year.
And then the teachers would just rig it by being like, oh, it's Dennis. How many votes do you get? Irrelevant.
So yeah, it's a prefect. Oh, well, we can park Tommy for another day. Shout out Tom. But yeah, I was a prefect. We had prefect duties, prefect badges, Riley.
I want to hear all about this, but I think we need a whole episode for it. All right, prefect chat next week, if we remember.
No. This is better. Let's do prefect chat now.
You want to talk about Tommy?
I'll park Tommy. We'll get people. This will give people a chance to listen to Tommy's music on Spotify. We will, because this will give people a chance to listen. You can give people, audience and you, a chance to listen to Tommy's music, and we'll discuss it next week. It's perfect.
We're not gonna come back to Tommy. If we leave Tommy behind now, we're never gonna come back to Tommy.
We'll come back to Tommy. I promise you. We'll come back to Tommy next week.
Tommy, I'm so sorry. We're not coming back to Tommy. It's never happening. If you're not gonna do it now,
I'm doing it next week.
A much deeper well of questions for prefect chat than I do. I'd rather the full 20.
Well, I want to strike while that iron's hot. Tommy waited 12 years for it. Tommy waited 10 years for us to hang out. He can wait another week. It's fine.
Oh my goodness. All right. Okay. Sorry, Tommy. I did my best.
Ask me about what I didn't think you knew I was a prefect. I have my badge somewhere in my parents' house.
Well, no, it's not the first thing that you say about yourself, thankfully. I don't think you're one of those people who peaked in high school. You don't behave like that, which I'm very grateful for.
No. I was relatively well-liked in high school. I was very surprised by that.
You're one of the most charismatic and likable people I've ever met.
Well, that's very sweet of you to say. But my high school did have... I keep saying high school. It's a secondary school here, but I'll say high school for the Americans among us. My school did have quite traditional... it wasn't very exclusionary. So my high school was a little bit odd. I think I've talked about it, but quite progressive. We had no uniform. Well, we had a uniform for the first 3 years and then no uniform after that.
So you just wore a badge, like what, pinned to your
I don't think I ever wore the badge.
Popped collars on your polo?
I don't think I ever wore the badge.
Did you wear pop collars on your polo shirts? How many polo shirts did you put on at the same time?
I don't think I ever wore a polo. I wore a polo shirt once in a movie I was in, which I guess you're talking about
some younger. You're a bit, you might have missed that. Yeah.
No,
yeah,
we had pop collar polo shirts. When you went to a teen disco, you wore a pop collar polo shirt.
I used to wear two. I would wear two pop collar polo shirts. That was huge. That was not uncommon. 2006. Oh, baby.
I wore jeans and a white hoodie, dude. So I was okay. Very middle of the road.
But hang on. So you were popular for what reason? I imagine you weren't sporty.
No, I played basketball, but I wasn't super good at it or anything.
Okay, so what was it then? Were you the clown?
Here's the thing. I would say I was relatively well liked. I don't think I was anybody's first choice in a popularity contest, but I think I would make a lot of lists. You know what I mean?
And that's why you didn't become head boy, I say.
Well, yeah, of course. A bunch of the emo kids really liked me. A bunch of the theater kids liked me. A bunch of the nerdy kids liked me.
You can also say that as well. Yeah, so you got broad appeal across multiple demographics.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Broad appeal is definitely the correct answer there.
Yeah, okay. So.
And quite studious. So I think that got me a lot of teacher votes too.
I still don't understand how the teacher student vote breakdown happened. You haven't explained that.
You get a blank ballot as a student and you get the same ballot, I believe, as teachers.
Yeah.
And then 50% of the weighting is to the teacher votes, which is only among 20 teachers or whatever.
Right.
And then the other 50% is to the students.
So every teacher vote is worth 7 student votes or whatever.
Probably more, but yeah.
So they can just rig it, essentially. But that makes sense. I don't think you want to give your... We had a similar system called the SRC, the Student Representative Council. I guess when I hear, like, prefect...
We also had a student council.
Oh, so that's different. See, the SRC was definitely a popularity contest. Because our SRC president was Johnny Koutragaros, who was... Man, I really liked that guy. And for some reason, he liked me. Like, I was not a popular kid in high school for very good reason. But Johnny and I got on really well, and I really liked him. Like, we were good mates. I don't know what he saw in me.
Our head of student council and head boy and captain of the rugby team were all the same person, which is unsurprising.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that guy had, did he have broad appeal as well? Or did he just have very intense appeal to certain key power, sort of power demographics?
Just a very nice guy. Just a real, like, could be president, I would say. You know what I mean?
Wow. See him all the way up there as the, what is it, not the Taoiseach, the other one?
Well, the Taoiseach is the Prime Minister. Yeah.
What's the President, though? They've got a different name.
The President.
Oh, you don't have an Irish name for the President.
Uchtaron, I think, is President. But
okay.
I think he's a doctor now. Anyway, this isn't about Fergal. It's about me, Riley. So,
sorry, Fergal. I tried, Fergal.
We had prefects. We had prefect partners. We had prefect duties.
At prefect partners. So, who's your prefect?
Yes. Yeah, so. My peer partner was Regan Drennan. You met Darren and Sean at my wedding.
Yeah.
Their cousin was in my year in school, Regan okay. Drennan.
Yeah.
In a very old school way, prefects had to be exactly half boys and half girls, and every prefect partner pair had to be one boy and one girl.
Yeah, sure. It's going to create some issues in the age we live in now when we've got like non-binary kids and that sort of stuff. Where do they fit in?
Yeah, I don't know how. I assume you have, well, here's the thing. You self-selected all of your pairs as well. Not just that, though, the horrible actual popularity contest was scrambling to find a prefect partner, so you didn't basically get picked last in PE as a prefect at the very end.
Wait, did you have to run as partners on the ticket?
No. You get voted in, and okay. then you get a room, and you're all prefects now, and you're like, cool. Yeah. And they're like, all right, your duties start next week. Figure out who your prefect partner is. Goodbye. And then it's like, do you want to be my partner? It was rough, dude.
That's terrible. When I was teaching, I never let kids do that. I would always partner them off myself because like I never wanted, because I knew the weird kid would never have anyone wanting to work with them. And I also knew who the friendship groups that worked well together were. And I knew the ones that had to be separated. So I would always be like,
that doesn't go away.
But that's the thing. If you're a teacher and you have an idea of those dynamics, you just say, okay, here are the partners. And the ones who deserve to be with their friends are going to be with their friends. And the ones who you know that are going to do a terrible job if they're with their friends won't be.
But what I'm saying is I teach a master. I'm a professor for a master's program here in Ireland yeah. where most people are in their 30s. And I still do all the groups randomly because there's no way I'm letting them pick them. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. Mine are artisanal handcrafted groups, Dennis.
Let the dice decide, baby. Let the dice decide 100%.
So what was the story? How did you and Regan get together?
Regan and I got on well. We competed a lot in like biology and stuff, which is appropriate. She's a marine biologist now. She's probably
you competed
to you
in biology. Now, when you're a teenager, that could mean a multitude of different things.
That could be multiple things. I mean, biology examinations. Thank you very much.
Oh, exam. Oh, well, Dennis got very technical.
All right. Okay. All right. She's probably closer to you than she is to me right now, because I think the last time I spoke to her, she was like in the middle of the Pacific Ocean doing some research on some sort of
yeah. If you're a marine biologist, I wouldn't want to be doing it in the Irish Sea. I'd much prefer the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah,
I think.
Fair enough.
Generally, a fair bit nicer. Yeah.
But we'd spoken a bunch before. We were decent friends before. We used to play like Pokemon or a Game Boys together and stuff. And I was like, all right, I got a name with Regan. We're good.
Yeah.
And then our duties started rattling.
Hang on. No, we're not pussies. Who were the other contenders? How did you and Regan, like, was it just one and done? Did you go up to Regan like, you and me, let's go?
Yeah, no, I had a backup that I didn't really want, and I won't name him here. I had a backup that it wasn't Fergal, no. And I liked Regan quite a lot, and I was like, all right, this is going to be good.
Well, that's what I heard. I heard you liked him quite a fair bit, and certainly from a biological standpoint at least.
No, I mean, truthfully, I had never had anything other than a platonic relationship with Regan. And let me tell you, I shot a lot. You know when you're a teenager and dating is a numbers game? Man, was I playing those numbers. Yeah. I was buying as many lines as the lottery ticket would let you when I was in school. Oh, boy.
Yeah, and still managed to maintain like 14, your effortless popularity as well. So well done.
Although, actually, by the time I was in sixth year, I had a girlfriend. So we're good.
Okay. Oh, great. Right. All right, we're good. All right, so yep. We're so you cruising. And Regan, your duty started. Regan, sorry, Regan. Did you have to do? Did you have to empty the bins? What are you doing?
That kind of thing. I can't remember how the rota worked, right? So there was I don't think you had prefect duty every week. I think you might have had it. I think you might have had like every fourth week off or something. Anyway, there's a various duties that you get posted to as a pair, and I think you're mostly paired off so that you're not lonely. So, for example, one of them is you would sit at the exit of the canteen.
Hmm.
And you would make sure, I think you would make sure people didn't take like plates of hot food outside. And then at the end of lunch, you would like help the cleaning ladies like tidy up the canteen and then go back to class, right?
This sounds terrible.
Oh yeah, but the duty's right. It's a solemn oath.
But what are the rewards? Do you get your own bathroom? Do you get a bathtub that has like magical bubbles in it?
You don't
like,
get a bath to discover a mermaid in or whatever. No. That's boring. You do get a prefect room.
Ooh, all right. What's in the prefect room?
You do get a prefect room. The prefect room was a bunch of couches and like a nice little lounge area.
Yeah.
It had a foosball table. It had its own fridge.
Yeah.
It was honestly pretty sick.
How many prefects?
I think either 24 or 32, something like that. I think there's 12 boys and 12 girls,
okay.
I think.
I'm way less interested in it now. I'm so much less impressed, if that makes sense. I'm so unimpressed now.
Why? Because like one in five people are prefects or whatever?
Yeah, I thought it was going to be something. I thought it was going to be you and like three other pairs or whatever, the head boy, head girl. Oh, everyone
maybe
was
it
prefect.
Wasn't 12. Maybe it was
oh,
8
don't
or 10.
Backpedal now, mate. You've already said it. You're as common as muck. All right. Okay.
It was pretty common. It was not wildly impressive by any means, but boy, was it exclusionary when you got to go in the room and nobody else did. Whew.
Did you get plus
ones? I spent all of 60 in that room, dude.
Could you bring other people in?
No. Self-police. No one's stopping you.
Yeah, I was going to say.
The other prefects.
You don't outrank them. They don't outrank you.
But it's in everyone's interest to maintain the exclusivity. Yeah, do some people sneak in from time to time? Of course.
Who can say? Yeah.
There was one period, actually, where the last class, and I think it was on a Monday, was an Irish class, but you only did it if you did higher Irish, not if you did ordinary level Irish.
Mm.
It was like one extra period.
Mm-hmm.
And the prefect room would get absolutely trashed on what we called, I believe, Monday madness at the time.
Yeah.
Like every day, the prefects that didn't do it would go in, turn all the tables upside down, flip all the couches, all that crap.
Just let people know.
And also, we were like 17-year-olds tasked with taking care of this place. Fridge is full of mold. You know how it is. Awful, awful, awful place.
I'm thinking back to because I was obsessed with status when I was younger, right? Obsessed with it. I don't think I still am. I don't think so.
Would you identify yourself as a person who is in the status of being status?
I wouldn't say. Like, I used to care about titles and like.
Right. You did seem awestruck when I said I was a prefect. You were like, hold the fuck.
Yeah, but I think that's because that's the old high school Riley being like, ooh, right? Mm. Like, I remember the last time I ever really cared about status and being perceived and how I was perceived by other people was when I set myself the goal to get to 10,000 Twitter followers. And then when I did, normally what will happen when I set a goal and achieve it, I'll be like, right, what's next? And I was like, I don't really want to do this anymore, you know? So now I just
that shows some growth, I think, I would say.
But that's it. And when I was an idiot teenager, like, so at my school, we wore full uniforms, right?
Yep.
Wool and blazer.
Most schools here are like that.
And if you got a title, like if you were captain of a sporting team or if you were one of the student leaders or whatever, you got it written on your blazer. You got words embroidered on your breast pocket, right? And then
so you're collecting these medals like a mid-20th century dictator, you know, where you have the
no honestly and there were some kids who were such high achievers they had to get extra large breast pockets sewn on just so they could have all of the stuff sewn onto them, right? Like, this isn't a joke, right? And then the school, what was it called, school captain and the SRC president, they got their pocket done in gold thread, right? And the vice president and the school vice captain, they got theirs done with a special like a laurel wreath around the school logo as well, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's all I wanted when I was like, when I first started the school in year 9, that's all I wanted was to be like school captain.
What's to stop you taking to, like...
You have to take a special letter to Bob Stewart's of Q, and they will embroider it on your... I guess you could just get a needle and thread and do it yourself, but it just wouldn't work.
What's to stop you engraving Riley as the largest penis in the year onto your breast pocket? Like,
of the year? Is this a thing that's measured yearly? Do they come and go?
Well, of your class. Like, I would call my class.
Oh, sure. 2007s. Yeah, that would be really
penis,
good.
Yeah, biggest penis of 2012 or whatever, yeah.
And when the newspapers come to ask the teachers, how did you determine whose was the biggest? There's some real questions there. Oh, we just had all these teenage boys inspected. Like, that gets real... that gets real dark real quick. I was obsessed with it. I wanted to be music captain. I wanted to be sentinel editor. That was the editor of the student magazine. I never thought I would be able to get to school captain, although I really did want to. And I was never popular enough to become SRC president. And in the end, I had nothing. I got not a single word. No, I gave up. I gave up about halfway through year 11. I was like, I don't care about this anymore. This is dumb. This is really dumb.
It's not just about status though, Riley. Being a prefect was a great responsibility, but as is often the case, with great responsibility also came great power.
Did
not
it actually?
Not just in the form of the prefect room. Yes. So,
okay. Because in my school, hang on one second. Because this is what I want to say. Like, I look back at how much effort I put in for like 2.5 years of my time at high school to becoming like wanting to become music captain, wanting to become the editor of the student magazine, wanting to do this and that. I put so much. Like, I turned up for orchestra practice at 7 a.m. to set up the chairs to impress the director of music. Right. Doing all this, mm-hmm. what was just unpaid labor. Obviously, you know, I guess unpaid labor when you're 15 is different when it's in a school. So I don't know. It doesn't quite line up, but you understand what I'm saying. I put in all this extra effort for what? To get a little like bit of writing on my blazer. I look back and I'm like, what were you thinking, man? Stay in bed. Like, what are you doing? But then you tell me you're a prefect and I'm still impressed somehow. So it's in there.
Well, there you go. It's not just the status, dude. Yeah. So my school had only one shop near it, right? It was this corner shop.
Okay.
And it was pretty small.
Yeah.
So the way my school dealt with this was only sixth years were allowed to leave school at lunchtime.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who watches the watchman, Riley? Who stops the other years from leaving the school at lunchtime?
Okay, so you, the prefects do. So that means you're not going to the shop. So another downside.
Hang on. There's two gates, right?
Yeah.
Two gates out of the school.
Okay.
A pair of prefects would be appointed to each gate, yeah. right? And you stand watch. And you know everyone in your year, so there's no like, show me your papers, right?
That would be better. Like, have them lined up, you know, get them go through passport control. That would have been much better.
Checkpoint Charlie, like, yeah, no. But Riley, so yeah, you keep all the first years, second years, third years, fourth years, and fifth years out. You don't let them out at lunch.
Mm.
But, you know, a chocolate bar, a couple of euros occasionally can go a long way to turning a blind eye.
Wow. So you're getting bribed. You're getting kickbacks.
Yes, dude.
So this isn't great. With great power comes great responsibility. This is with great responsibility comes an enormous opportunity for corruption.
Yes, dude. But you had to keep it strong because a teacher sees too many younger kids in the shop. They're going to start suspecting. Right?
Yeah, one or two can get through. Like, you can go, oh, I don't know what happened. So, like, yeah, it's just obviously, I'm really sorry. It won't happen again. But you see the same kid, pockets jingling full of euros, chocolate bars poking out of your pocket as well.
And it was, dude, it was like being a nightclub bouncer. Because, like, someone would come up to you and be like, oh, come on, please, I just want to get a chicken. And you go, not tonight, mate. Sorry, not today. Yeah. Not today.
So what was the price? How much did it cost them? What was the going
usually,
rate?
So often family gets in for free, you know. Regan has a little sister, they can go.
Okay, but you're an only child, so that was there was no family discount for you.
No. A good friend of mine, kid who helped me out with some homework or something like that.
Yeah.
Generally not usually the case because they're younger, but no, it was like a chocolate bar. €2 usually gets you out the door. That was
two
the vibe.
€2?
Ruinous. Yeah.
That's but dude, a think lot about of money. Here's
the wild part, though, is our school canteen sold chicken rolls. So, like, you wanted
the succulents of the corner shop chicken roll, didn't you?
Well, the school canteen also had a separate hierarchy where first years always got to the shoved to the back of the line, and there was never any chicken left.
Dude. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that happened at our school. The year nines are treated like dirt, and of course, that only made you. When you experienced that as a year nine, when it came to your turn to be at the top of the pile, you were like, well,
repeat the cycle. Yeah.
I'm not going to be the one who flips this switch over. I'm going to perpetuate this, this generational trauma here for sure. Put them through.
Pull up the ladder and punch down all the way. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Pull up the rope behind me. So
high school really is a microcosm of society. You know, there's hierarchy, there's injustice.
What was your biggest score at the gate?
My biggest score at the gate was pretty nominal. I'm not going to pretend. It would have been something like €2 or €3.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I got a 5 or once. I don't think so. My biggest, you asked what my biggest score was, and my biggest score was, and we'll loop it back now a little bit, was funnily enough with Tommy, who was also a prefect, by the way. Tommy might have been deputy head boy, actually.
Okay.
I'm not so sure.
Nipping at Fergal's heels.
Yeah. Well, I think it was his girlfriend at the time was head girl, so. Ooh. Oh, maybe Juliet was head girl. Anyway, that's irrelevant. I'm not you. I'm not going to start listing out full names and start drawing out this chart. The biggest score I ever succeeded at in school was with Tommy, and it was a score of time, Riley.
Okay. I'm interested in this. Go on.
Being a prefect and being like studious and respected came with a lot of trust and a lot of leeway from teachers at times, right?
Yeah, true. So that is actually a very real benefit for sure.
So Tommy and I were both drama kids, and we had like a 4-hour maybe a 3-hour class or something like that one time, a really long like double period of English one time. And our English teacher was also the drama teacher. And she was like, oh, boys, before we start, can you actually go and take a look and see if you can find some like black fabric in the costume area behind the stage?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, we'll take a look. Tommy and I went back there. And it was a silent agreement. We never agreed to doss. And we didn't do anything
is that
fun. Is well, wagging sounds like a practicing biology.
Yeah,
to
were you wagging with each other in the drama department, or what were you doing?
I suppose we were wagging in the backstage area. Yeah.
So wagging means just like playing truant or whatever, like not going to class when you're supposed to. Yeah, 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 yeah.
But we weren't like, I remember the rush of being so brazenly truant was enough. I remember just sitting in the back room, and we were just sitting on these two chairs, just like yes. Not in class.
Yeah.
Let's go. And we sat there for like 20 minutes.
Yeah. Not doing anything.
20 minutes, right?
But just having
no,
a time.
Not at all.
Yeah.
We go back to class. We're like, miss, I think we're going to have to go keep looking. We actually couldn't find anything. Is there anything else? She's like, maybe on the stage. Yeah. We go back.
Yeah.
Sit down again.
Yeah.
I think we spent genuinely the guts of 2 hours not finding. And clearly, at the time, I thought I was getting away with something grandiose. Clearly, in retrospect, Ms. Davis, our teacher, just didn't give a shit what we were doing.
And that's what I was going to, I didn't want to burst your bubble, but I'm glad that you realized. Like, most teachers are glad to be rid of a couple of kids.
Yeah, exactly, right?
Right? Particularly when you can then, if they do anything wrong, you can make it their responsibility.
Yep.
Yeah. You go off, you give the kids you know, a little assignment. You go in the corner, you got to go and do this. And then if at the end of the thing they don't do it, it's like, well, I'm not responsible. Okay, you said you were going to do this. You didn't do it. It's not my fault. It's not my failure as a teacher, although it certainly kind of is if you're just letting kids wander around unsupervised. Go on.
I was going to say, we talk a lot about high school on this podcast, but I think it's because it is, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, it is a proper microcosm of society. There's injustice, there's generational trauma, there's undeserved authority and the corruption that comes along with it. It's all there, dude.
Yeah. The first sort of exploration of hierarchy and the way that it can impact you, your role in it. The problem is that you don't, for the most part, at least in high school, you ascend through the hierarchy sort of by default.
Passively.
Yeah. You kind of have to. Not necessarily through the social hierarchy in every way, though, because you can still be like a, you know, huge nerd or someone that everyone loves or whatever. Although nerds these days, based on the documentary that I saw, what was it, 22 Jump Street?
I guess in the Big Bang Theory for some reason.
Well, nerds are like fully cool now.
Yeah.
Is that true? I missed the mark. Holy moly.
Yeah, I think that's definitely been eroded a lot because of Marvel movies and stuff, right?
Yeah,
I think it's
like D&D. Yeah. Oh, well, good on them. Good on the nerds out there living their best life.
Living their best life. But yeah,
did I tell you about how
we'll check in and catch up with Tommy.
I bet we won't. Did I tell you about how I wagged school like one day a week for like 6 months? Did I tell you that? Have I told you the story?
No.
All right. Well, I was going to tell you a different story, but I'm going to tell you this one. So seeing as we're doing high school chat. So I broke my neck in year 11, right? This is one of the things that made me just completely stop giving a shit about anything about like school status or other, any of that sort of thing, right?
So you broke your neck and you're like, oh, okay, real problems.
Well, I was playing rugby and I just got into an accident and it was, I'm not going to say it wasn't bad because it was very bad, right? Like there was a chance that I'd like never walk again. It was really bad, but I got the surgery that I needed. I was in a Philadelphia collar in a neck brace essentially for 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. And it was awful. It was extremely painful. I still have like minor problems with my neck these days. I can't really turn my neck, or I don't have a great range of movement. Anyway, it's fine. Largely speaking, I'm okay. I hope it stays that way because I'm worried that like it's just my neck's going to collapse one day, which I'm concerned about. But then again, it's full of metal, so it would be less likely, I think, if anything.
It's probably sturdier than the average neck, I would say.
I'm not going to put that through to the test, but I'm certainly hoping it's the case. Anyway, I obviously was off school for like 6 weeks or something, or maybe even longer. I can't remember. Time is just a complete illusion. Like, I'll tell you how bad it was, right? This is how dire my situation was. I was at home on like opioids to keep myself free from pain. It was so bad that Mum let me move the TV into my room and play Grand Theft Auto Vice City, right, in bed.
Oh, you were busted up, huh?
Like,
oh,
that was
God.
So, like, this is in 2006, right? This is in 2006. And this is also my mum, who did not have much time for video games, especially, like, mum's general, when I played GTA and she walked into the room, I had to pretend it was a car racing game. That was her sort
you're
of
stopping at red. You're stopping at red lights when mum's watching.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's how bad it was. It was real bad. Anyway, it did come with a range of benefits, right? Both in school and out of school. Because firstly, went back to school, still on the collar, had a bunch of uniform exceptions, didn't have to wear the tie, didn't really matter if I didn't, because I had a neck brace on. I don't think that was worth it because I did get picked on for the neck brace, but, you know, that's fair enough. But what it meant was I had an excuse to get out of anything.
Anything at all, right?
So first of all, sports, PE, forget it.
Oh, no PE. Yeah, no,
I don't
way.
Have to do it. I can do whatever I want during those periods. That's great, right? Secondly, I went into the staff room one time and I saw on the board, like in teacher staff rooms, they have a board of all the kids that have like medical issues that the teachers need to know about. Anaphylaxis, allergies, diabetes, epilepsy, that sort of thing, right? And my face was up there and I read on the thing and it was like significant medical allowances, blah, 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 you know. So I could say things
the
like,
maximum level clearance.
Oh,
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
So I could say, in geography, I could just be like, oh, Mr. Pass, my neck hurts and I wouldn't have to work. I could just go and do it. Like, I could just sit there or go. Like, I didn't have to lean over my books or whatever, right? Absolute carte blanche. It was incredible, yeah? But then, on top of this, right, we had this stupid thing. It was so frustrating, man. So we didn't have free periods at my school. They were scheduled into, like, we had periods where there were no classes, but we had to go to the library and they'd mark a roll. We had to sit in the library. We didn't have to do anything, but at other schools, free periods, you know, you could go.
Waste of everyone's time.
Yeah, you go to the prefect room, you go play a bit of basketball, have a walk around, whatever. But we had to go to the library. So we just usually sit there and like do the quiz in the Age or like read comics or whatever. But on the double library period, right, we could go home early. And I somehow managed to, I don't know how I did this, but I managed to con mum and dad into thinking that I got to go home early 2 days a week, right? Not just 1 day a week. And then every Wednesday when I had, oh no, that's what it was. It was double sport, right? And I was just off for sports.
Yes. Okay.
So yeah. I was just like, I'm just not going to go and sit at like what I would normally do. I'm just going to sit in the sidelines. I'm just going to go home. Right.
Yep.
So this ended up being a thing on a Wednesday where I would get back home at like 1:30 in the afternoon. Fantastic, right? Mm-hmm. So that means I'm playing Xbox.
We had a half day on Wednesdays anyway, by the way.
Well, that's the thing. We didn't have anything like that. I guess we had the double. Anyway, whatever. That's not the point. Point was, I got home at 1:30 on a Wednesday, and I'd sit there for like 2.5 hours until, you know, Dad came home bringing my brother and sister back from their schools. Mm-hmm. And then I realized in the morning, Mum worked early on a Wednesday. Dad had to take the little kids, my brother and my sister, to school. Everyone left earlier than me, right? That was the day that I didn't have to be at school until like 9 a.m. Everyone left before me.
This is going.
Everyone got back after me. I started getting up on a Wednesday, putting on my uniform, right? Packing my lunch, saying, oh, see you, Mum, see you, Dad, see you, I'll see you, Mill. And then just staying at home for the rest of
the day.
Full
Ferris Bueller, my God.
Well, I didn't have to pretend. I didn't have to be like, oh, I'm feeling unwell. Oh, and I certainly didn't, you know, drive around in an expensive car around the streets of Chicago. I just sat at home and played Kingdom of Loathing on my computer all day. I ate my packed lunch that I made for myself that morning. And here's the best part. It wasn't just getting away with my parents, right? Like, because they had never had any idea. My teachers assumed that I don't know, had medical appointments or wasn't able to come into school or whatever.
You were using that full maximum medical leniency or whatever to its full potential, dude.
I wagged 20% of the second semester of year 11.
You met my friend Luke, haven't you? Actually, he wasn't able to come to the wedding, so maybe you haven't.
Yeah.
So we have a year in here in Ireland called transition year, which is so... High school is divided into junior cycle, which ends in your junior cert exam, which I guess is the equivalent of your, I don't know what it is in America, but like the GCSEs, and then your A-levels, right? Mm-hmm. And then, so you transition between junior cycle and senior cycle, but in those fourth year is kind of a year where you're supposed to try a bunch of other stuff.
Oh, yeah,
right?
You've talked about this. It's drama. The year that you can kind of like mess around and try stuff, and if you don't like it, it doesn't matter. Yeah. You've talked about this. I remember this.
And how good it is directly proportional to how much money the school you happen to go to devotes to it, all this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
But... Luke's school had a crappy transition year. So for most of year four, Luke just went home at lunch and played Call of Duty. And eventually his parents caught him. He didn't have any of the leniency or built-in sympathy or stuff that you did. He just played truant old school and they grounded him. But Riley, they granted him, but they didn't take away his Xbox. So Luke was punished for playing Call of Duty by playing more Call of Duty.
By sitting home playing Call of Duty. Yeah, great. Really good. Oh, man.
So, yeah, he didn't have the perfect crime that you did, but...
Well, no, I'll tell you another thing that Breaking My Neck did, right? You're an increasingly less young man every day.
As is everyone, I would say. I don't know why you'd call that out about specifically me, but okay.
Well, no, not everyone. About half the population of the world is, because this next point I make very specifically is to do with men and males, right?
I see, okay.
So I don't know what you were like in your late teens and early 20s, but certainly... Uh-huh. The boys that I spent time with around that time just thought they were bulletproof. Like, absolutely bulletproof. Yeah. Like, immortal. Mm-hmm. I will never grow old. I will never die. I'm at my wisest. I'm at my cleverest. Like, I am...
If I get hit by a car at 30 miles an hour, I give it even odds.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right? Like, just this sense of immortality. And I would prefer to wind back the clock and not break my neck, generally speaking. But doing that, hoo boy. It put a fear of death into me that meant that I just skipped that entire period of like my development, I guess, that 5-year period
special.
Between the ages of
dude.
18 and 23 where you learn, I am mortal. I can die, right? I learned that at 17. I may have told the story about Adrian Cleanfoot's mum.
Yes.
So have I? Oh, a long pause. Is this staying in the episode as well? Are we having connection issues?
You said I may have told you, and I said yes.
Oh, I have told you. Okay, so I won't tell you again.
Oh, no. I said no. I meant go on.
Oh, go on. Sure. So one time me, Adrian, James, and Andrew were going to drive up to Adrian's mum's country property, right? She had like a little it didn't even have plumbing, but it was like a holiday house, mm-hmm. I guess. Anyway, we were going for the weekend, and Jude, Adrian's mum, was like, no, leave tomorrow, leave on Saturday morning, get up early and go. And we were just like, we knew that we wouldn't get up early. We wanted to go that night. It's like 8 p.m. on a Friday. It's already dark. And Adrian's like, no, we're just going to go now. Like, it's fine. And she's like, Adrian, I know what you like on the roads. It's not safe driving. It's dark, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. this. And I was like, oh, no, Jude, I'm driving. We're going in my car. And she goes, Oh, you're driving, Riley. And I was like, yes, I'm driving. She's like, oh, that's okay. That's fine. I was like, oh.
Riley's had major neck surgery. He'll be careful.
No, do you know what she said? And again, I'm like 19 years old when Adrian's mum said this to me. She's like, well, that's good. No, that's okay. Because, Riley's quite a boring driver, isn't he? And I was like, well, don't put it like that. Don't say that in front of my Jude. What are
not
you doing?
Not even safe or good.
But
just say you're a good driver.
And she's like, no, I don't mean boring. I mean, yeah, like you're safe. You know, you drive well. You're a safe driver. But it was too late. And so I think to spite her, what we did, we played a very... You want to play? Oh, Dennis, the game we played. It was so much fun. Oh, my goodness. So we were driving up the Calder up towards Bendigo from Melbourne. And do you know the game we played while we were in my car driving along at 110 kilometers an hour? We would turn off the headlights and see how long we could drive for without getting too scared. Oh, the fun we had. I can't believe I did that, honestly. I really cannot believe that was something I did. Because we were doing it for like what felt like a minute. It was probably close to 15 seconds, but... Man.
You did not miss that phase then, dude. That is premium I'm immortal.
No, dude, because the only reason I did it was because I was in a car with three other young men. I wouldn't have done that by myself. Also, I think I had a bit of a chip on my shoulder as well because I wanted to prove to, I don't know, the world that I wasn't the boring driver.
And a rod in your neck. But that you say you did that just to impress the other boys that are with you. I'm going to let you in a little secret, dude. That's the reason everybody does it.
No. I wasn't doing it to impress them. I was doing it because they were like, it was just good old-fashioned peer pressure. They're like, come on. It'll be fun.
Yeah. You had a more authentic youth than you think you did, I think.
Yes, but I also certainly, like, I definitely was. Like, there was other times where people were like, let's do this. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. That's very dangerous. I've already almost died once. That's quite enough.
I've had one near-death experience. I don't need to flirt with it again.
I don't need to get any closer. The Grim Reaper has already tapped me on the shoulder. It's quite fine. I don't need to test his patience again. But that was
a second stamp on your Pearly Gates loyalty card.
It also just completely... I'm not going to say it like wisened me up and changed me enormously and made me like into a much better person, because it didn't, because I was still a shitty little teenager. But it did make me realize... What am I doing? Who cares if I'm music captain? Who cares if I'm the sentinel mm-hmm. editor? Like, I'm not putting any more effort into any of this. And it was after that time, actually, after I broke my neck, that I gave up on sports, obviously, because I couldn't play them anymore. And I found my people because I started playing Dungeons & Dragons. And I found, like, the the clan that I belong to. I found the societal subgroup, the nerds, and I've never left.
So you broke your neck and it led you down the dark path of Dungeons and Dragons is what I'm hearing from this.
Yeah, yeah. My child broke his neck and then the next thing he was pretending to be a wood elf named Glathi. Now that was James's character. I'm not going to take that from him.
Take that from him.
Oh, Glathi was a menace. Taken from the Oblivion character, the paranoid elf from, not Shadenhall, the Bruma? No, not Bruma. One of the cities, the one with the vampire. But yeah, no, but it's interesting that you say you're a prefect and instantly I'm back to like, well, that's impressive. So it's in there somewhere.
Some of those things never leave us, man. Some of those things never leave us.
It's in there somewhere.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Have a Listen to This, your weekly dose of bite-sized nonsense with Riley Knight and Dennis Treniak. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it. If you didn't like it, I guess tell them anyway, but hopefully they download it and they like it. Or if they don't, those downloads show up just the same, to be honest. If you really like the show, you head to patreon.com/havealistentothis and support the show, get the show a little bit early, as well as some other exclusive perks, and, you know, help us keep the lights and the mics on over here.